Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started. Well, welcome to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. Melissa, I'm so excited to have you here today to share your daughter's journey with us.
Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I think just that this is going to be a great episode because we don't normally have a parent sharing their child's story. So we can get a different angle, you know, of a view from your perspective from it as well. So that will be great. So where should we start? Do you recall when her problem started happening, or do you recall a tick bite?
Our journey started in Florida when we were on vacation, and I noticed a bullseye rash on the back of her leg. And oddly enough, I took a picture. I don't know what triggered me to do that, but I felt like it was a good idea at the time. And as most of us find in this journey, we rarely know much about Lyme until we have to.
Exactly, right. So that was a good idea to take a picture of the bullseye rash.
Yep. And so that was in the fall of 2011. And we didn't seem to see any kind of struggles at the beginning, which, you know, in the research I've done seems to be something that's not unheard of.
Right.
So, a couple years into that, after that, we saw some symptoms and we were going to the doctor frequently. And I even at some point mentioned to the pediatrician, should we test for Lyme disease? And the response was, there are no symptoms of Lyme disease with your child because symptoms of Lyme disease are neurological.
Not always, right? Yeah.
Well, and the bad part about her answer was one of the biggest complaints at that time was migraine headaches, which are neurological. So obviously that was a huge disappointment in a care provider that we'd trusted for so many years.
Right. Now, did you mention to them about the bullseye rash, or did you yourself know that that was a tell sign of Lyme disease?
I did not. I knew enough that it could be a sign, but I didn't know it was a definite sign.
Okay.
And I mentioned it to her. And when we went into the same clinic, but she wasn't available to see for that appointment, when we saw another provider, I asked again. Both of them did do a test, but as we know, those aren't very accurate when we are seeing a primary care physician. So both of them, you know, we were told, no, there's no Lyme, there's negative. But I just kind of thought I had the chance, I had a chance to get a second opinion. And so we struggled for a few more years with symptoms.
And that's kind of the sad part when you have a lot of people dealing with Lyme, and they're asking their trusted physician, and their trusted physician just kind of throws out an answer, not really based on what, you know, them having knowledge of Lyme, but it's just kind of a one-liner thing that they know about Lyme, and that's all they throw out. And then you, as a patient, think that, well, they're the expert, they're the doctor, they've educated, you know, they research it thoroughly, and this is, you know, this is their opinion. Yeah, this is their medical opinion. And so then you move on thinking that you've exhausted that solution.
Yep. That is very true in our case, yes.
Well, when, you know, like just as a kid growing up, whatever the doctor says, I mean, that must be gospel, right? they know everything. And when you're a person with Lyme and going through this, or a parent of a child with Lyme, you start to learn that you can't always listen to what these doctors tell you. You truly have to be your own advocate.
Yes, definitely.
So what other kind of symptoms was she having during this couple of years that you were kind of just wait and see? So she had the migraines.
Yes. Our symptom list for her was very long, not surprising. We had seen her go through sleep disturbances, red stretch marks on her lower back, extreme fatigue, insomnia, hot flashes, the migraines, brain fog, lightheadedness, near syncope, restless leg syndrome, heat intolerance. And at the very end of our journey, with not knowing what was going on, bedridden to the point where, as a parent, I was becoming very, very nervous. And about that time, from some stroke of luck, we figured it out. We found a physician that believed in us and believed in Lyme and was able to help us.
Yeah, great. And so as you, I mean, obviously none of those signs are neurological, correct?
Other than the migraine.
Yeah, I'm joking.
The brain fog. And
yeah, brain fog.
I guess,
and the
yeah, about a third of them, right?
Yeah, syncope. Yeah. So, and why, so when you're pursuing then doctors, I mean, was it a doctor that then suggested Lyme, or were you looking for a Lyme diagnosis, you know, when you're seeing that there was such a complex condition and there was such a multitude of symptoms, were you looking then for Lyme diagnosis, or was it just a physician that was educated enough to make an appropriate diagnosis?
After the pediatricians had both said, no, you don't have Lyme, a couple years passed. And at that point, I did enough research that I decided to seek someone that was a Lyme physician. So it was my decision to find her. And we did, and she was amazing. So that was the beginning of our healing journey.
Wonderful.
Well, I'm so glad you found them and knew a little bit or enough about a bullseye rash for it to, you know, trigger yourself that maybe this is Lyme, because so many people out there have no idea what a bullseye rash means. And that included me, because I was the lucky one who got the rash, but I sadly didn't have a clue what it meant. So I just went about my life as if nothing was wrong. So that's one of the reasons why we do this podcast, is just to really educate the listeners out there so that hopefully they can, you know, find their diagnosis of Lyme before they waste years and years and tons of money. So good for you for finding the doctor.
So what did that look like then? I mean, did they do additional testing? Because obviously the tests you've done before, which are notorious for being false negative, did they do additional testing, or did they just go, well, these symptoms, you know, this all looks like Lyme, let's treat it as Lyme?
The doctor we saw took an hour with us and listened to what we had to say, and she did do testing. She used iGenX, and she did test just for Lyme. It wasn't a full panel with co-infections. The test came back with various positives and plus signs, and, you know, your typical, I mean, you're familiar with the testing. It would not have been anything your PCP would have acted on. You know, you hear that it wasn't the CDC qualifying Lyme diagnosis, but this doctor knew better. And then through various appointments and listening to us, the Babesia and the Bartonella co-infections were clinical diagnosis.
Especially with the stretch marks, you know, like the Bartonella is notorious for the stretch marks.
And the headaches with the Babesia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So what kind of treatment were they initiating once they knew that this is what was going on?
What happened during that part of the appointment is our physician let us know that she supported different treatments for Lyme disease. I don't really know how many there are, but it seemed like she had the three basics, and that was supplements and herbals or antibiotics or essential oils. And I had shared with her that I had done some of my own research, and I felt with chronic Lyme, we weren't really wanting to do antibiotics as a first line of treatment, that we wanted to try the herbal and supplement natural route. And I said, if this was your daughter, what would you do? And she said, that's what I would choose. And that was the beginning of our healing journey. The thing that really struck home with me, being nutritional minded, and treating other chronic illnesses in the past with diet and lifestyle changes, is that this particular doctor shared with us that she always heals the gut and then targets the Lyme, because she felt that if your gut isn't healed, that your treatment isn't going to be as successful. And that worked for us in our case. So it was diet, nutrition, natural supplements, protocols that seemed to be very specific and personalized for my daughter, along with some detox. She spent a lot of time listening to us. She mentioned a couple very popular protocols, and she kind of picked and chose certain sections of those protocols that she felt was good for my daughter. Some of those choices were made by further testing as well. She did a lot of testing, minerals, toxic metals, vitamin panels, to see what all was needed for the healing process.
And how old was your daughter at this time?
During the diagnosis, she was 14.
Okay. I mean, what a blessing to, because you have children going through their teenage years and early 20s, you know, until they start to figure anything out, you know, so that to be able then to find something at this stage, you know, so that she has a chance to finish her school in a much whole way.
Yeah, she certainly is different than her friends, probably. And she's going, you know, what's wrong with me? Why do I have to go through all of this? Mm-hmm. So, and I do like the fact that your doctor said, you know, that you really need to get the gut healed, because that is a huge part of the total picture when you're trying to heal Lyme. So do you remember some of the things that they did to help with her gut health?
The doctor mentioned a few things, and then I took it up on myself to do a lot of research. I'm diet and nutritional minded. I'm actually certified in diet and nutrition, so that came in very handy when we were doing our healing journey. For my daughter specifically, it was gluten-free eating, which went along with a celiac diagnosis, so that was already in place. We did very low dairy, very low sugar, steering clear of inflammatory foods. The reason I chose low sugar and low dairy instead of no sugar and no dairy was because at the age of 14, I felt that this is something that most children have all the time: macaroni and cheese, pizza, cookies. And if we say nothing, then they're going to sneak it. And, you know, so I feel like that's why I feel like everybody's journey is so personalized. You really have, you know, as an adult, maybe no sugar and no dairy are feasible. But for a 14-year-old, I felt like, you know, doing it as low as possible, as little as I could get away with, to help heal the gut, get the inflammation out of her system, allowing the supplements and the treatment that the doctor recommended to be better absorbed, better tolerated, along with the detox support. I felt that was so important, the detox support, because my daughter was lucky enough to never, ever have any Herx reaction when it came to Lyme and the treatment with the co-infections. And I know from reading how very rare that is.
Very rare. Yeah. In fact, I've never heard that before.
That's really incredible. And a lot of people, in regards to the gut, is that, you know, obviously there's the nutritional absorption aspect, you know, which is crucial, and also making sure that, you know, the food we're eating is properly broken down so they don't enter into the bloodstream, and in a larger package we can trigger an immune response, you know, which is inflammatory, etc. But also looking then at the detoxification aspect, you know, the liver is not going to dump toxins into a gut that is all inflamed. You know, it's going to stop that detoxification. So people are trying to detoxify and you have an inflamed gut, you know, the liver's just not going to do it. And so that's why it's such a key component to start with the gut. So I'm really, that's exciting to hear how, you know, how good your practitioner, how good they were.
And then with your background of, you know, health and nutrition, your daughter definitely had everyone in her corner that definitely helped her. Yeah. And gave you, you know, that extra knowledge to be able to do the research on your own, to be able to help her. So that's amazing to hear. What type of detoxes? What did she do to detox?
So our Lyme doctor set up a protocol with her that involved a specific biobotanicals protocol. So that included a GI detox, their biocedin LSF. And so, bear with me, it's been a lot of years. So there was a lot to go along with that. She was very specific, to the point that she didn't even give us a list of supplements and say, here you go, this is what you need to do. She told us what time of day each of these supplements should be taken. You know, B complex, your B vitamins, they need to be taken in the morning, and, you know, on down the list, which I know that, again, you know, I can't tell you how lucky we felt, being able to get so much guidance, because I don't see that. I see others suffer, and their doctor might say, take these supplements, and not even mention dosages, you know, and then they're online asking people. And so I can't tell you how lucky I felt to find her.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And so how was your daughter responding to all of this? I mean, what were you seeing kind of changes in symptoms as these programs were evolving?
Well, like I said, my daughter was bedridden right before I found the doctor, to the point where she was missing enough school to be red flags, and not being able to participate in just even daily functions. With the protocol that we were given and that was personalized for her, we actually saw a turnaround in 2 weeks' time. She was a different person in 2 weeks' time. Her face looked healthy. She was able to do more. Of course, we weren't all the way there in 2 weeks, but I could see the difference. At this point, we're 6 years into the healing journey, and I would say she's 95% better, which is amazing. I guess we all strive for that 100%. And the reason, you know, I think that we're just not quite there is because we have a lot of other medical conditions as well, that some are related to Lyme and some have nothing to do with Lyme. So sometimes you don't always know what is this Lyme or is this the kidney disease, you know? So, but 95% there, you know, I see a much healthier, much happier child. She's attending, you know, school and doing amazing, doesn't have to miss out on a lot of things. So it's just, we're in a good spot now. And, you know, we're very careful. We're careful about, you know, not getting ill, not putting ourselves in harm's, I should say her, in harm's way. We know that, you know, the Lyme in remission is what I would say she's at right now, is something we don't take for granted. We understand that that's not a guarantee, that every day her feeling good isn't a guarantee. Staying healthy, eating right, you know, exercise, that's all helping benefit her into staying where she is today.
Yeah, I think that's a great point to make because, you know, especially when you're sick for so long, that once you get better, you know, any myth of any word about Lyme or anything, you just want to ignore it. And so I see often a lot of people that just revert back to their old lifestyle. And unfortunately, with Lyme, you can't do that. You have to, you know, not take for granted that day that you can get out of bed, because literally it can change overnight. And I personally think that it's any type of stress, emotional stress, physical stress on your body, I think is what triggers my Lyme. So I'm assuming a lot of others, you know, that could happen to them too. So for your daughter being at such a young age going through this, I guess if we can look at the bright side of things, she'll always be healthy and active and very in tune with her body, you know, to stay healthy.
That is correct. And very spot on with the stress. That's another thing, you know, on top of the diet and nutrition and exercises, we do our best to avoid stress, live a lifestyle and, you know, plan our days and plan our goals in the future, to always be mindful. I do not want to teach her to live in fear, but I want her to be taught to be mindful of the actions she takes. And I think that, you know, like you said, the opportunity at this age to know what's needed, you know, I think that's been good for her as well.
Yeah. And you learn, I mean, so this is actually going to set her up the rest of her life, you know, for a much healthier life and for her children and so forth. And so it becomes, even though obviously it's a challenge that nobody wants to go through and deal with, but once you've gone through it, you know, the blessing is tremendous on the other side if you continue on that journey, like both of you discussed, and made that point very well. If you stick to what it was that brought you back to feeling better rather than reverting back to old patterns.
Exactly.
Well, good. So how old is your daughter now?
She is 19.
Oh, 19 and healthy. I love it. Or Lyme free anyways, right?
Yeah, she's doing much better, much better.
Wonderful. And she's graduated from high school and in college, or where is she at now in that whole process?
Through this journey, it was a surprise to us, but she actually graduated high school a year early.
Oh. Wow.
yeah, she, due to being ill, she, from about 9th or 10th grade, she was completely at home for schooling. She did all of her work at home. And we were told that she had enough credits to graduate a year early. So we entered college early. As I mentioned earlier, we always are mindful of the Lyme and we keep that in mind. So college courses were something that she did part-time to begin with. So the goals were set to keep that simple and then kind of build on that. And so this summer will be her first full-time semester. So she will graduate with an associate's degree next spring, and then she'll be going on to become a pediatrician. So.
Oh, really?
Oh, I love
what
that.
What a cool ending to the story.
Yeah, very excited for her and her.
And I'm sure she'd be really good at recognizing Lyme.
I think that that is part of her decision and her journey is, you know, the chronic illnesses that she has had to have as part of her journey, that she's going to be, you know, she's going to be a good doctor.
She's going to be an awesome doctor. That's
I have no doubts because when somebody comes to her, I know she's going to believe them, no matter how crazy it may sound, because when Lyme patients go to a Lyme doctor, I agree. We say some pretty crazy stuff. And so it is hard to believe, but I guarantee you she's going to believe what anybody tells them that they're going through. So what I love that. I just love that. She's going to be amazing at that. So I'm so glad she's healthy and she's going to be out there and helping people and be available, you know, if and when somebody does come in and show signs of Lyme. Well, so
I mean that, and as you know, the doctors that are aware are few and far in between. So then to be able to find a pediatrician that's educated in this area, she's going to be in demand. I mean, and people are the amount of blessing that she's going to bring to people's lives. Yeah, what a cool ending to story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. Well, thank you so much for coming on to our show and telling this amazing story. I really love it. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you so much for being the voice of your daughter. We really appreciate it, and we appreciate you being such a great parent, you know, and doing the research that you had to do to help her get better. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for your time.
Thanks. Information this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review, and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com, and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.